children is God is mighty and he loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And what does that mean? What does it mean to you? We know that's in the Bible, but it doesn't mean that we won't have problems. It doesn't mean that we won't have to deal with bullies, people that want to push us around. And it means that what it really means is that no matter what we're going through, God is there to comfort us. And from the time of being a young child all the way to this point, this has become more and more important to me every day. And I just want to impress that on you, that God is with you no matter what you're going through. When we die, he'll be there to welcome our souls back home to heaven. And there we will live with him forever. So it's a difficult thing to say, but, and maybe it's too easy to say, and I don't want you to be afraid of what will happen to you, not on this planet. I want you to have courage. And the Bible clearly states that that's the way we should go. I'm going to go off script a little bit here, but in Matthew 4:11, Jesus contended with the devil himself. And also, there was a situation back in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke as well, book of Mark, where Jesus was in a boat and the waters were turbulent. And the people in the boat with him were afraid. And they woke him up. You know, and he said, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." If they knew who they had in the boat with him at that point in time, they would have no fear at all. And I use that example because times are going to be scary. There may be something that'll happen that'll cause a little fear to well up in you. But if you can remember, okay. If you can remember that in times of trouble that God is with you, a lot of those things just dissipate. They just go away. So the scriptures that we'll be covering today, children, is based on, it's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. So humble yourselves, therefore, before God's mighty hand, that he will lift you up in due time. In my own words, I just say, be cool, don't be scared, don't be worried about anything. God's got you covered. He's got you covered. Your day will come, and you will have peace. Just believe in Christ Jesus, read his word, and understand, and be able to call on scripture, to be able to call on it. The scripture today, if you look at the bulletin, says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And he cares for you perfectly. Not that your parents don't care, not that your friends don't care, but he cares perfectly without any agenda, without any baggage. He cares for you perfectly. Be confident. Be controlled and alert. Your teachers and your parents will say, you know, sit down, be quiet. Stop fooling around. Mine used to tell me to be still. And sometimes they'd even tell me to stop smiling because I had this mischievous grin all the time. Maybe you get some of that. Hey, look out. Look out. Bottom line is this. Don't allow somebody or require that somebody else to have you be under control. You've got to be under control so that you can be alert. And if you're alert, you can be aware of all of the dangers, anything that's coming towards you, if you're alert. You also get a chance to take in life's lessons and pay attention to your teachers if you're alert. and under control. But these scriptures say you have to be self-controlled and alert because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying that because it's true. Hollywood, what it does is it has us to believe that we have no power. That horrors are out there that can hurt us. Bad people are out there that can hurt us, and we have no power. We have the Word of God that is more powerful than anything on this planet at our disposal. And I challenge you, young ones, to learn it and to use it rightly so that you can have plenty of experience seeing how it works, because it does. It does. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to resist him, the devil, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not alone. You know, Michael Jackson had this song, "You are not alone." You know, you're not. You're not alone. Look around. And there's churches all up and down, and some of them are teaching and preaching the Word of God. All up and down. You got brothers that are going through the same kind of challenges, so don't think that it's just you. How does that give you comfort? Well, you just saw the meeting and the greeting. And we should go beyond just, "Hey, how you doing, brother?" We should look in each other's eyes, and I should try and ascertain as whether there's really something going on so that we can pray together and support each other. And you can tell me what scripture I should be going to when I'm worried about something. And then finally, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." That's what you want. You don't want necessarily comfort from someone else. You want it from the Lord. That's what you want. You want that power of the Holy Spirit resonating in you. And you need to learn how to listen to that Holy Spirit. Now, I'm about to send you downstairs for your teachers, and perhaps they'll talk to you some more about this. But if you have any questions about anything that I've said, if there's any confusion at all, feel free to ask me or any of the elders or any of the other believers, so that we can continue the dialogue. Amen? To him be the power forever. Amen. Kids, you can be dismissed. You can go. So can I have everybody stand so we can have the official reading of the word? Our focus today is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. But I love to start off with John 3:16. You know, I fantasize about being at a basketball game and I'm on the free throw line. And behind the backboard is someone with a John 3:16. Amen. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life." 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. "Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he will lift you up in due time. Cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever. Amen." You may be seated. You know, that last verse, "he will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast," gives you some kind of indication that we're going to go through some turbulence. Amen? I'm old enough to have at least seen some commercial airplanes with propellers. And I remember seeing them start up with all the smoke, stuff like that. And boy, I didn't want to ride on those things. So by the time I began to fly, I was flying on jets, and some of those early jets, particularly when you're flying over the state of Colorado and places like that, there's a whole lot of air pockets, things like that. And man, something like that can really drive you to drink. I mean, you basically want to be in some other state besides in that seat. And so wanting to be cool, I remember just squeezing the handles on my seat, the arms on the seats, and hoping that no one noticed that I was scared. Over the years, travel has improved. It's not quite as bad. So I've learned on takeoff and when you hit turbulence, it's just to relax. Still scared, but just to relax and let it go. Because what are you going to do? You know, you can't put on brakes, right? You got your seatbelt on. I don't know how that's going to help. I mean, I guess it would keep you from... Anyway, I digress. The battle belongs to the Lord. We want to talk about spiritual warfare. And it has three elements. I had a chance to go with John, my brother John, and Carl. We're going through a discipleship series, Transferable Cross Training here, written by Dr. Carl Payne. He serves over at Antioch Bible Church. And it's a real eye-opener. We started in August, and we're just about to finish this thin book, one of three. And we're going slow because it's substantial. Each page has really healthy, huge morsels of spiritual truth in it. You know, just, you know, it has you cross going in the Bible and looking at all kinds of scripture. But one of the chapters is spiritual warfare. Three elements Dr. Payne talks about. One, the world, the other, the flesh, and the other, the devil. The world, you experience sociological opposition. And with the flesh, physiological. And with the devil, supernatural. And the way that you handle each one of those enemies is different. And then, so in our lives, we've had some victories and we've had some defeats. According to Dr. Payne, he says, there's no reason why we should be experiencing defeat if we know how to use the tools that God has given us. It's the word of God. But use it rightly. And I'll touch on that. Scripture is associated with fighting against the influences of the world. It's 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and of course James 4 and 4. We also have with the flesh, there's Romans 7, 15 through 25, and Galatians 5, 17. And we're going to touch on those. And the devil, James 4, 7 through 10, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, and Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And that one is really important because that is Jesus jousting with Satan. Not as an equal. Not as an equal. Not as a friend. But he has power. And he used the power, not his hand, not his fist. He used the word of God. And that is an example for us. So just want to keep that in mind. If you have to get up and leave, that's it right there. That's the whole sermon. All right. So let's talk about the world. And the way we'll go through this, we'll talk about how Christians are attacked and how we can defend. Dr. Payne says the world is an organized system in opposition and rebellion against God. 1 John Second chapter 16 characterized the world as lust of the flesh, physical desires, and the lust of the eye, beautiful externals, and the boastful pride of life. And that's selfish ambition. And I've been guilty of all of them. And I've sought after all of them. The word itself says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. How Christians can defend. We go to John, 1 John, 2nd chapter, verse 17. And the world is passing away, along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You know, this indicates that we're to evaluate all temptations and say, just say no. Just say no. We don't have to pretend that these things don't look good or don't have value. You know, the world is a real, the real issue is not how the world looks, but whether the temporal pleasures of the world are worth the eternal price tag that accompanies them. Anybody that's been in a Bible study with me knows that I affectionately refer to that white Cadillac. You know, that white Cadillac. You know, I want to get that white Cadillac. I've had one before. I did. I had one. It didn't last. The engine failed. And over time, I ended up junking it. It passed away. Okay? Just all these kinds of things are temporary. Career. I have been struggling in a corporate career for over 30 years. I've had some successes and I've had some failures. But the real success didn't come until I could get to a level of contentment that no matter what, I was going to do my job as I'm doing it for the Lord. Only when I got to that point was I able to really, I'd say, maximize what I can contribute. And even then, that didn't get me to the corner office. But that's okay, right? We serve right where we are, right? There's a purpose in us being right where we are. All this stuff passes away. And we don't want to get confused and invest too heavily in the things of the world because they truly are temporary. If we go to the flesh, and many of us have dealt with issues of the flesh. Anybody else besides me? Anybody else? You know, it's so funny. Can I get personal a little bit? Personal? Can I, a little transparent? You know, I'm 64 years old, and nobody gave me permission. Can I have permission? Let's see. My wife's not here, so I could maybe... he's gonna say, "Do you know what he said?" He said. So, I was looking at a news article, and I don't know what kind of news this was, but it had to do with Trump, and he's taking this drug that replaces Viagra. Okay, I thought, oh man, that would be cool because that Viagra costs a whole bunch of money, you know. But the thing is this, I've never bought it, but, you know. But anyway, the whole thing is this. I clicked on the article, all right, and I'm reading the article, and the way cookies on the web happens is you know, you click on a certain article, now all of a sudden there's some other advertisements coming along the side, and some of them weren't very nice. And so now I'm trying to click these things off because you know what? I don't know about you men, but I've got a photographic memory. If I see something, I can't get it out. It's there. And so I'm trying to click this thing off. You know, I literally shut off my monitor and walked away. We're going to see that it's scriptural, that sometimes you have to do that. You can say, I'm strong, I can handle it, I can read it. No, you can't. You can't. You can't. Yeah, you know, the pastor, elder here is giving away my 2 Timothy 2:2 when it says, man, you better get up and run. You got to run. And that's what I did. Shut off the monitor, cold booted the system, brought it back up, went into to my browser again and deleted the cookies. You know, I mean, there's multiple reasons for doing that because, you know, I work for a reputable employer And I'm bringing up, I'm doing a presentation, and I've got the presentation, and then some stuff is coming up along the side here. That doesn't reflect well. It just ruins a Christian witness, let alone a professional witness. You know, so we've got to be careful out here. We're doing battle. The flesh is represented as an old nature. The old man or the old self within each individual, including Christians, which is in opposition and rebellion against God. Scriptures that support this notion, Galatians 5:19 through 21, Colossians 3, and Mark 7. They provide partial lists of all the areas that can easily inflame in this battle. I want to go to some of those. Let's see. I thought I had them ready at my fingertips. I'm going to have to do the old-fashioned thing. Okay. Oh, there we go. There we go. Okay, let's see. We got that. Glenn, your slides look better than mine, brother. Let's go together to Galatians 5 and 19. Okay. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Now, I want to know, you can go to all kinds of different versions of the Bible, and I've heard people say, you know, is this truly the Word of God? You know, all right, we can have that debate later, but check out this list. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Get mad at somebody in traffic lately? Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is there any doubt about that list? Anybody have any arguments against that list? We can talk about Christian liberty. We can go back to Galatians 5 and 16 when we talk about battling against the works of the flesh. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, we got to understand that, you know, whenever I've gotten into arguments lately, I go back to this list, and I make sure that I'm not guilty. And most of the time I am guilty of being in the flesh. But if you continually renew your mind with the Word of God, these occurrences will become fewer and fewer, and you will find that when we talk about be self-controlled, that will be easier and easier. You know, part of the works of the flesh is having a filthy mouth. And one of my idols that I used to look to was a fellow by the name of Richard Pryor. And man, he could tell a story, and he would use foul language to do so. And I used it. And so when I began to study the Word of God, I used it a lot less and less and less, until I would hit my hand with a hammer or something like that. You know, I'd let something go. But if you continue in the Word of God and fellowshipping, you know, fellowship is so important. You know, you don't forsake the fellowship of the believers. You continue to be in that fellowship with the iron sharpening iron. And what you find is you get more and more tools in your toolbox to help you battle against the flesh. It happens. It happens. Not too long ago, I hit my thumb, and I didn't utter a curse word. Something else came out, but it wasn't like it used to be. It works. I still fall down every now and then, but I've got my wonderful wife with me, and she says, hey, you got to be cool with that, because you'll be in front of the church, and when you let go, one of those will let go. You can't do it, you know? So it's nothing that you oppress yourself with, but understand that it's a process, right? It's a process of renewing your mind. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24 state that victory over our old nature or self is possible by consistently renewing our mind. We replace our old thinking with Christ-like thinking contained in the Bible. Lastly, as we talked before, 2 Timothy 2 and 22 declares that in some situations involving the flesh, the faithful believer should simply run. Just get out of there. You know. Any questions about that? All right. About running? Run. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Oh, Ephesians 4. Why don't we go there? Let's go there. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 20, 24. Let's just go there. Right after Galatians, right? Is that? All right. Page 152. That was a joke, guys. You didn't laugh. And I'm okay. All right. All right. Okay. Here we go. Verse 20. But that is not what you learn in Christ. Let's back up some. I'm going to back up to 17. Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart, that heart condition. They have become calloused and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not what the way that you learned in Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. All right, so you got that reference? Got it. Amen. Okay. So we can move on and talk about supernatural opposition. And this is an area that I heard about it, but I never thought I would necessarily be involved. But God is a wonderful teacher, and he's allowed that to even happen in my life. And I find that every day now that I'm in a battle against the devil. The devil is a real enemy, according to Jesus and the Bible, who is in opposition and rebellion against God. His primary attack against Christians seems to be through debilitating accusations. Now, these accusations, you're walking rightly, and you call to mind something that you used to do. Now, you think that's the Spirit of the Lord convicting you? Or do you think that's an accusation from a demon himself? What do you think? Certainly, when the past is brought up, and it's something that you have confessed to the Lord, that's not a conviction. That's an accusation. You know, say, hey man, you're just a violent hothead. You know you can't. How you gonna talk about the Lord when every time you turn around you do this and you do that? You know, you hear that? That's not the Lord. But the Lord will say, hey brother, you know, that guy that cut you off, he might be going for an emergency or something. Don't flip him to bird. You know, I mean, just, you know, be cool. Now that is, I think, the Lord, as opposed to the accusation, you know. These accusations are usually mental attacks. Mental attacks in the mind, and are carried out by demonic spirits who faithfully serve the devil. Revelations 12 and 10 mentions this type of opposition. It reads, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God." Now stop right there. And aren't you glad that you have Jesus as your attorney? And if you don't have Jesus as your attorney, why don't you just, you know, after the service, come up and let's talk about it. You don't have Jesus as your advocate. Let's talk. He's the ultimate advocate. It is possible, Dr. Payne says, that the flaming arrows targeted at Christians, which are mentioned in Ephesians 6 and 16, could also represent demonic accusation. And I've got the scripture here for you. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Now, I know some people that I interface with here at the church. I'm thinking if they had a shield, their shield would be just huge, because they're always in the Word of God. Elder Chet. You know, so in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one. Shield of faith. And how can we defend against this Satan? You know, scriptures like James 4, 7 through 8, and we've read 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, indicate that the Christian is to firmly resist the attacks of the devil. You know, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I take this one, and I need to, if I were to get a tattoo, that's one that I would get. That's one that I would get. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Ever been double-minded? Undecided? The Word of God can help you. 1 Peter, back to 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him and stand firm in the faith, because you know you're not alone. Your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." The Word of God is for all of us. Amen. The battle belongs to the Lord. And ultimately, Jesus showed us how. In Matthew 4, 1 and 11. And I'll read it. "When Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting for 40 days and nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, 'If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'Scripture, it is written.'" Go ahead. "It is written, 'Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Satan didn't stop. He then took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." That's right. The devil is quoting scripture as well. "And Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written,'" what's that? "'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Deuteronomy 6 and 13. You know, Jesus inspired the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And Satan had enough nerve to quote scripture to him. "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain
You know, as we do battle, you know, we tell him, ultimately we have to tell him to flee. But if we don't, he's going to be right there jousting with us. He's going to be right there. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him that all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. It's just like showing me the corner office. And he said to him, all these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. I don't know. He passed the test. I feel a great deal of responsibility this morning. But as Chris shared some scriptures with us yesterday in the men's breakfast, Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's where we need to line up. Amen? So I'm not worried, but I want to make sure that you are clear that this battle, you're a participant, but it's the Lord's battle. And an adult Bible study this morning, Elder Chet touched on Zechariah and 13, Zechariah 12. And clearly, from what we read, the battle does belong to the Lord. We get to participate with our obedience. We get to participate by knowing how to use our tools, and that is the Word of God, and applying it in the right situations. You know, we talked about two different situations. We talked about the flesh versus battling the devil. One, the flesh, in 2 Timothy 2 and 22, one of the responses to run. But when you're battling the devil, that's not the right response. You can't run. You're to resist him. But in order to resist him, you got to be alert and self-control. Now, if I'm out here loosey-goosey and not paying attention to things, I'm out here just like the old wildebeest. You know, did anybody ever see Wild Kingdom or anything like that? And there's the wildebeest. You know, there's the wildebeest. He's out. He's, you know, hanging out with a whole bunch of wildebeest, you know. Thousands of them, yeah. And so they're out, and they're grazing in the grass. And then one of the young wildebeest, he looks over and he sees some tall grass. He says, hey, man, I think I want to go over there. I'm going over there. I'm going to go get some of that grass. It looks a little better than this grass. Grass is always greener. You know that, right? So you go over there. The wildebeest goes. And as the wildebeest goes, several other wildebeest follow. That's always the way it is. Happens a lot. So wildebeest goes over there, and others go. And, you know, I used to hear people joke about going hunting and for a big game and stuff like that. And when that game turns on you, all they're concerned about is whether they can outrun you. You know, because the slow, or the one that's not alert, is the one that usually falls victim. And the same is true with these poor wildebeest. They go over there, their grass is good. Pride of lions maybe camped out someplace just waiting to pounce. And they pounce on the unsuspecting wildebeest. And the others, of course, they scatter. But that's how it happens. You have to be alert, self-controlled. Don't forsake the fellowship. Don't get out there alone. I've had a situation that I've talked about that I've encountered where needed much prayer and intervention with one of the members of the fellowship. I didn't go alone. I didn't go in with anger. I went in with the Word of God, accompanied with a brother with me that was praying right along with me. Resist the devil. But before, you have to be self-controlled and alert. So if you know how to apply your tools. He's got a tradesman right here. He has tools that he uses for jobs, certain jobs. And if he's taking out an old heater and he comes in with a sledgehammer, you know, you think, whoa, does he know what he's doing? But he comes in with the tools of the trade and he knows exactly how to apply them. There's a process. And that is what you do when you're dealing with either of the three enemies that we've talked about. We've talked about the world, the flesh, and the devil. But the one thing that I just discovered this morning that I want to take us there, and Elder Chet, don't you think it's appropriate that I go to Zechariah just to show that the battle is the Lord's? I could? All right. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to Zechariah and see, 12 or 13. What do you think? Maybe I'll go to 12. And I'll start at verse 1. Zechariah 12, verse 1. The battle belongs to the Lord. We have tools that we can use, but the battle belongs to the Lord. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and founded the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to all of the surrounding peoples. The siege of Jerusalem will also be against Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all of the peoples. All who lift it will surely hurt themselves, and all of the nations of the earth will gather against it. And on that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness. I'm going to stop there. Who's going to do that? Are we going to do that? It's the Lord. The battle is the Lord's battle. It is his. We get to participate. You know, he's sovereign. Yes, he ordains everything. He allows some things in our lives. But we get to participate by obeying, through obedience, supplication. As we start this thing today, if I go back to if I go back to Peter, it says, submit yourselves. That's one of the first things. It says, humble yourselves, right? So you got to do that. And we understand that we serve a mighty God. And because he is mighty, we know that everything is going to be all right. And that the waves, the turbulence, the things that we encounter, he's going to calm the seas for us. He's going to make that, get us out of those air pockets in the air and all those kinds of things, all those fears that we have. He's going to lift us up out of those things. All the problems that we encounter, he's going to lift us up. The physical maladies, he's going to heal us at some point. It may be after he calls us home, but nonetheless, we are not to despair. If there's anything, I want you to understand that despair is not for us. We can't stay there. If you're feeling that right now, I'm telling you, go to an elder, go to someone, go to a sister or a brother that you respect, that you know is in the Word of God, and pray and be accountable. That's what you must do. Otherwise, you're going to suffer defeat. There's no reason for Christians to lack victory. There's no reason for it. In every situation, God has given us the ability to have victory in every situation. Okay? So you're at the end of the month. You got bills this high and there's no money. What do we do? What do we do? Do we go get the payday loan? Do we pray? Do Do we go talk to someone that we can talk to and trust about financial accountability? And then you can sit down with another brother and evaluate a payday loan. One thing that I learned is that when you pray with people, God very often asks you to be a part of the solution. So if you look here in the body of believers, we're part of the solution. And we're part of the solution by being obedient to what God asks us to do. Now, I'm not saying someone like a heat-seeking missile come and say, hey, brother, I need a couple $1,000s. You got it? You know. Now you're asking me, perhaps, to be a poor steward of my funds. But God has given us what we need to battle that. So we go to benevolence. We resolve the issue. But then you take the next step. What's the next step? You get some counseling. This is happening to me every month. So then you take that next step. But you can do that within the body of believers. You can do that. That's one thing. But you don't get so stressed that you've reached the end of your rope. Because now you cannot be effective in resolving the issue. You're losing control. You're not self-controlled. You're disoriented. You're not alert. And you think that you can solve the problem, so you're not humble. Scripture doesn't say that. That's not what Scripture says. So, you know, to summarize, God is mighty and He loves you. And we may have to run from fleshly desires and yet boldly resist the devil. We must know how to gain victory that Christ has provided us by studying His Word and applying the Word situationally. You know what I mean by that? Apply the Word of God situationally. We must learn to apply the right tools of spiritual warfare by learning to identify the nature of the enemy. When you encounter a situation that is of the world, you don't have to treat it as though it's a situation coming from a demon. When you have an issue with the flesh, you don't necessarily have to blame the world. That's your problem. That's your problem. You know, I remember having a discussion with a coworker, and I was thinking, you know, that ladies should be more aware of how they affect their male coworkers and in the way that they dress. Wow. That's a tough thing to say when I'm the one with the problem. I'm the one with the problem with the flesh. So I need to resolve that as well. I need to stop looking at sisters as though they're an object, and that they in fact are my sister, potentially my sister in Christ. When I start taking on a different attitude, then what they wear doesn't matter. But they should care. Don't you think ladies should care a little bit about how they dress? Do y'all think that? Okay. All right. Well, you know, just so we're in it together, right? Okay. Learn to apply the right spiritual tools of warfare. Submit humbly to the fact that the battle belongs to the Lord. And then what I want to ask that you do is, in the privacy of your homes, read Matthew 4, 1 through 11, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. And then also pay some mind to the tools that God has given you, because there are scriptures that you can apply for each of the three situations. Amen? All right. So Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for being my God. I want to thank you for the patience that these folks have displayed today, even though some folks did go to sleep, Lord. I just thank you for the message that you've given. I know it was for me. Lord, bless everyone that the scriptures would sink in so that they can go out and spread the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.